At CIT, we believe in turning your ideas into outcomes. Whether you're growing your business, building your savings, or seeking that next equipment purchase, we're the bank for you. Bank like you. Visit CIT.com, member FDIC.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. As stock markets reach record highs, you might not think finding cheap stocks is easy, but it can be. And a Wall Street Journal markets reporter will tell us where to find them. First, some money and market news you should know. Looking for a pay raise? Try switching jobs. Economists say the reason workers' pay is rising at a very slow pace, even while the unemployment rate hovers at historic lows, is that not enough people are moving to new jobs. 40% of wage growth over the average U.S. career comes from job switching rather than experience or skills. The Census Bureau says about 6% of U.S. workers switched jobs in the first quarter of 2018. That's down from 10% at the end of 2009. So why the slowdown in job switching? Well, economists say workers have shown increased caution in the wake of the financial crisis, as well as sweeping changes in the economy, including globalization and new technologies that some workers fear would require new skills. And Jack Frost will be doing a little less nipping at noses this winter. Natural gas prices jumped during the frigid start to November in many parts of the U.S., but forecasts for a relatively mild winter to follow send prices down nearly 5% on Monday. Natural gas prices are also being held down by supplies that are 15% above this time last year. And analysts say the strong supply has caused recent price rallies to fall apart.
At CIT, we believe in turning your ideas into outcomes. Whether you're growing your business, building your savings, or seeking that next equipment purchase, we're the bank for you. Bank like you. Visit CIT.com, member FDIC.
Value stocks have been pushed to the sidelines as Wall Street is back to racking up record closes, but now shares of banks and manufacturing companies are making a comeback. But is this their time to shine or just a brief moment in Wall Street's spotlight? Let's bring in Wall Street Journal markets reporter Michael Wurstthorn with some details. So Michael, first of all, what makes a stock a value stock?
So typically value stocks are defined as companies that are cheap, and you figure that out by looking at its price to book value or its price to earnings ratio and comparing it to, say, the average stock in the S&P 500 or others. So companies that have that appearance of being cheap tend to have some actual assets like such as manufacturers with factories and whatnot. If they're trading below their book value, below their net worth, they would be deemed a value stock then.
Is it just banks and manufacturing companies that make up the S&P 500's value index?
Those are the majority of the companies. I mean, banks are by and large one of the biggest constituents of value stocks. Industrial stocks are another big group. You do have some healthcare companies, and that value definition can stretch multiple sectors. So you even find value within the technology sector, say amongst some of the manufacturers there. An IBM, for instance, would be considered more of a value stock than certainly a growth stock, and that's a technology company as well as a manufacturer.
When did investors most recently start to pour money into value stocks?
So you started to see the shift in September. A number of things started happening then in the sense that investors were a lot more at ease with the market conditions and they were more willing to take risk. So one of the areas they started to look was just sort of where can I get the most bang for my buck and where do I see the best value in the stock market in terms of appealing prices? And investors started to see value stocks. So that was the financial sector, industrial companies, and you see even sort of some movement saying within healthcare as well as energy stocks, all those being areas where you could find value, all of them started to rise and they've had pretty decent performances now over the last 3 months.
It's been really hard to find bargains in this current Wall Street environment.
It has been. And a lot of that has to do with the bounce back we had from that fourth quarter sell-off. If you look across the S&P 500, a number of most of the major sectors, I believe, with the exception of energy, have had double-digit gains so far this year. So you've had a really big rise in the overall market in those first 6 months. So now investors are really trying to differentiate sort of within the market where there's bigger potential for bigger gains going down the road. So that's where they're going toward more of those cheaper valued stocks right now.
When we look at the current market, how can we read the growth potential of value stocks when we stack it up as compared to recent history?
One of the ways Wall Street analysts are doing that is looking at the dispersion in terms of the valuations you're seeing between value and growth stocks, and those being, say, fast-growing companies that have grown at a very rapid pace over the last several years. That would include companies like Amazon, Alphabet, for instance, would be another one. So would Facebook. So they're looking at just sort of how the average growth stock has reached some pretty expensive levels relative to the average value stock. And they're also doing this against, say, momentum stocks. Now those are a little bit different than value growth stocks in the sense that momentum can encompass value in both growth. But momentum stocks, really, the only thing going for them in the sense of why they're rising as much as they are is because there's a number of investors moving in at the same time. So you're seeing that price movement reflected. So analysts are looking at those two baskets, growth and momentum, and comparing it to value and seeing that we haven't seen this big of a gap in those valuations since 2003 or even the dot-com bubble when growth stocks fell a lot and you saw value really rebound in the subsequent years.
You know, we've been down this road before with value stocks. What is different about this comeback as compared to previous times?
As trade tensions have really fired up, investors have been less willing to buy various investments, especially stocks, because of that unease, that uncertainty. So you've seen that stifle market somewhat. With trade tensions improving to at least a simmer right now, and there's some optimism that we'll reach this phase one trade deal, that's adding to investors' optimism, and that's helping investors get more comfortable buying stocks again. And we're seeing a lot of that buying activity go into value stocks. The other thing analysts are saying is that we're also hit a trough in corporate profits. So there's expected to be a profit rebound next year, and that's also helping entice investors back into buying stocks.
And how can the small investor get in on this rally in value stocks?
We've seen the movement play out amongst the big institutional investors in terms of these big fund managers buying value stocks. What we're seeing amongst individual investors is that they're buying more value ETFs. So some of the biggest value-oriented ETFs run by firms like Vanguard and Fidelity and iShares, the BlackRock brand, we've seen significant inflows into all those value funds, and they've outpaced growth as well. So investors seem to be gravitating toward those, and the benefit of those funds is that they give you a wide exposure to a lot of different value stocks. So that's one way an individual investor could try to play this trade.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Michael Wirsthorn joining us on the line. Michael, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.